Hey, Pupster. Welcome to Train Your Dog Podcast. This is Dexter. I'm your host. Okay, today our podcast will concentrate on three common issues with puppies. But I'm sure all of you out there that has a puppy or a young adolescent pup dog, you will be facing these three very common puppy issues. Right, so for the first one, we are talking about the biting issue, or some call it the mouthing issue. Number two, we are targeting on the barking issue, right? And the third one, we want to teach you how to get your dog ready for vet visits. And how we can do that, let's keep on the dial. Pups promote positive interaction with animals, and pups, your companion for life. You can find us at our website, www.pups.com.sg, pups as in P-U-P-S, and you also can find us at YouTube with the handle of Pups Jamming Studio, and also at our own blog where we are at Pups Blog Series. We are also available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handle of Pups SG, which is P-U-P-S SG. Here are some helpful tips that I want to share with the audience. There's two golden rules which I want you to remember. Rule number one, if you want the behavior to keep coming back, you're going to make it positive, you're going to make it helpful, you're going to make it fun, you're going to make it exciting, right? And if you don't want the behavior to keep repeating, and then you can make it negative, you can make it not fun, you can make it not interesting, that will extinguish that behavior. This podcast, we are concentrating on the three common puppy issue. Like I said in my introduction, if you are having a young puppy or a adolescent dog, these three common puppy will be what you will be commonly having or experiencing right now with your dog. And it's a good time to let's look at how we can address that. Right. So the first one is the biting issue. So what is the biting issue all about, right? First, we must look at the breed of dog that we are talking about, right? So have you actually did a lookup over the internet onto the breed history of your dog, right? If you have done so, you will realize that the breed of dog that we have usually has been using their mouth, 24/7 a day, if they are at their own, unique situation where they are bred to do. And they have been using their mouth to go for the hunt. They have been using their mouth, to tear open a meat to eat. They have been opening their mouth, to protect themselves. They have been using their mouth to communicate to their own species, right? And other animals that's out there, right? So therefore, you can realize that our dogs have been using their mouth since the many centuries that they are born. And sometimes, being a puppy, they may be also having the teething issue. When the puppy are just growing their puppy teeth, usually they will feel the inflame, they will feel the discomfort on the gum and things like that, right? That will also cause the biting to be more prevalent in your puppy, right? So we need to understand what causes the bite what is causing it, and then we can then near the roots of the problem and need the bark, right? Sometimes it's also because of the human, right? So we are the people who are actually reinforcing that. So what do I mean by reinforcing? I mean that we are actually adding the fun, right? For example, if your dogs try to bite your hand and then you push them away, you engage into a game, right? And that kind of reinforcement will be so forceful, right? Then it becomes harder and harder. Right, and the other sad part of in today's world, because we bring our puppy too quickly out from the litter, they have lost the potential time to learn from their litter mates and also from their mother dog. Right, therefore, we as owner right now needs to take over that responsibility to teach the dog what is called bite inhibition. Right, so that will be able to teach the puppy to have some self control. How to again utilize their mouth in the right way, in the legit way that will be to us will be accordance to our house rule, which is something that we will be approved of, and we are happy that the dog doing so.
here are some three ways that I would like to recommend to you to stop your dog from biting. Number one, right? Let's stop the reinforcement. Right? I think most of the time, we are the owner are the one that is feeding that fuel, and that's the reason why your dog has always been encouraging to bite the person. And end of the day, the game gets going, and it becomes very fun for the dog to do so. Right? If you were to stop their reinforcement, I'm sure that the behavior will extinguish. Like I mentioned in the helpful tips, right? If you don't want that behavior, make it negative, make it unfun, make it uneventful. Therefore, the puppy will stop nipping. Number two, right? I will be looking into helping the dog. If it's a puppy, I will definitely want to find ways to soothe the gum so that the growing teeth will not be a problem for my puppy. So what I do, I can recommend you to do using a handkerchief, right? Wet it up and then roll it up like a tube and then freeze it, right? So for my own puppy, I usually have 2 to 3 pieces of the hanky that is being deeply freezed. And what you do is that you can help the dog to basically sink their teeth in, and the puppy will feel the coolness of the gum, and that will remove the irritation, and that will stop the biting. Or alternatively, you can buy those rubber toy that is specially built for thieving dogs, and that will also will help you to do that. Now the third way to stop biting, I will recommend it for you to make the biting legit, right? So what do I mean by that? You legalize biting. Think of it the other way, right? If you always were to tell your dog, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. Well, it's just like a kid, right? If you keep telling him that the kettle is hot, I can tell you, due to curiosity, the kid will go and touch the hot kettle, and then he learns by consequence. And that is the worst part, how we as animals and humans learn, right? So let's avoid that. Let's legalize the biting, right? So what we can do is that we will put aside or we leave aside certain types of toy. Especially for puppy who are growing, I will recommend you to use a toy that is based on rubber and is harder, right? Do not buy a soft toy, right? Soft toy being so soft, when the puppy bites on it, it doesn't get any satisfaction out of the bite. You know, when you bite, you want your teeth to sink into the rubber and you feel the grip, and that provides the stimulation, the satisfaction for the puppy. That will stop the biting going ahead. So the second common puppy problem or issue will be the barking issue, right? The barking problem has always been a common issue for all dogs. And again, I like to bring to your attention, if you look into the breed again, have you studied the breed? And if you have bought a dog that is in nature, they are so barky, how do you want to then expect your dog to stay, soundless, 24/7, 7 days a week, and even in a year, right? That is really unforgivable, right? And I will always tell myself, if I need to know what am I getting myself into. Imagine if you are having a beagle, right? You're having a Jack Russell, and how can you expect these two breed to basically stay quiet all the time and the whole time? That is really unrealistic. Now, putting aside the breed standard and the build and the characteristic of the breed that you bought as a puppy, we now again comes into three ways how we can stop barking, right? And I recommend you to follow this technique because again, we base our training on reward-based training technique, right? So we doesn't use any force. We believe in rewarding the correct behavior, and thus by doing so, that correct behavior will keep repeating, right? That's what we want to achieve. So now to stop barking, right? The first technique that I will teach you is basically to teach and to put the barking on cue, right? What I mean by that? So imagine you are teaching your dog to bark on command. Right, therefore, he will only bark as and when you have cue for the bark. Right, so he will not be barking the rest of the time because he's not given the green light to bark. Because again, reinforcement counts here. Right, so what we want to do, we want to teach our dog first to bark, all right, and then we reward for the barking, And then when the moment, the intermittence, the time when you waited for him to keep shut and he's very quiet, that's the time you will again mark for the quiet and then you pay. So basically we switch the marker and the objective, right? So the very onset, our objective is to reward for the barking. And then the second stage, what we will do is that we will reward for the dog for being quiet. Then from that on, we only will be rewarding the dog for being quiet, right? And then we can then put on a cue to the dog to bark. So when we say bark or speak, when the dog bark, that's where I pay the dog. So I use the third option, right? Or the third stage where I will then cue the dog for the bark, right? If I successfully do that, my puppy will only bark, based on my command given. Number two, right, provide him a alternate behavior, right? Just imagine, right, if your mouth of the dog is, or your puppy is being, there's nothing in the mouth, and then all you leave for him to do is to keep screaming at the top of his voice, and basically what he's doing actually might be just, alerting the family that basically there's an intruder at the gate, you know, or he's just vocalizing, maybe communicating with your neighbor's dog. Right, so there is always a reason why the dog barks, or he's feeling anxious and he's feeling uncomfortable, that he's barking for attention, right? So these are all the potential things that you can do. So now, what we can do is to provide a alternate behavior, right? So what we can do is that every time when the dog barks, you know, I will throw maybe a few numbers of treats on the floor or onto a mat where then he will goes and eat. Right, so what I'm going to teach the dog, or we are going to associate the staff, is that every time when you bark, right, there will be treats down there, right? So eventually what the dog will learn is that every time when he hears the sound that someone is at the door, he will be going to that mat and waiting for you to reward. So basically you give him something else to do, right? So he will know that every time there's someone at the gate, he needs to do the next best situation, right? The next best reaction is to run to the mat and then have a party at the mat, right? Because the intruder, you know, is the one that's going to bring that wealth of, Thanksgiving, you know, and treats, and everything is going to be so fun every time when he hears a guest. So that's the way we can stop the barking puppy. The third technique that we can do is what we call, we do a disappearance, right? For example, you're in the living room together with your family and we are all having a good time watching a movie. And you know, and our neighbor just walked past and our dog just go bonkers, right? He just goes into that barking. And then what we do, if let's say we all suddenly decided to just disappear from the living room and all gets into our bedroom, guess what, right? Your puppy will then be thinking, oh, what's going on? You know, why is there no audience for me to bark and shows that how tough I am, you know? And what the puppy will usually do will be just following you back into your bedroom. And when he does that, let's reward that, right? So every time when he barks, right, every time when he hears the neighbor at your door, you know, or your guest at your door, what he do is that he will run into the living into your bedroom and then wait to be rewarded, right? So this is another option that you can try. That teach your dog a different placement or reward, where your dog will go to your bedroom and gets ready for a reward every time he hears a guest coming into your house. Now, the third common problem, common puppy issue that we have, right, the vet's visit, right? To my professional advice, vet visit basically is a total different animal, right? Because it's a situation that you need to expose your dog to. So if you are doing very well in your puppy socialization, bring your dog to expose to situation, you know, to groomers, to vets, you know, to places, and your vet's visit will be less, will be less dramatic, right? So that will keep your vet visit sane, sane for you and your dog. And if you have not done your preparation for puppy socialization, you realize that vet visit becomes a big mountain to climb. Something that is going to be so tough for you to bring your puppy out. Teaching your puppy to be able to, you know, to get a proper vet visit, a check, vet check, it's going to be so difficult. The dog will be restraining, the dog will be biting, the dog will be struggling, your puppy will be screaming and things like that, you know. And it's always been a owner's responsibility to ensure that your dog's welcomes vet check and welcomes the visits to a vet. Here are three ways that you can cushion the impact of going to vet, right? Of course, as we mentioned in the beginning of this third segment, we are saying that it's due to socialization as exposure of your puppy. So what I would suggest you to do, you know, you may want to bring your dog to the vet often. Sometime you can drop by the vet, you know, those that you know them well, you know, you can drop by the vet and then let the vet tech, you know, rewards your puppy, and then you can make a move out of there, right? So that will become a positive reinforcement. The vet, your puppy will know that going to vet is going to be a pleasant experience, and it's going to get a reward, and he is going to keep looking forward for going to the paying a vet a visit. And number two, right? What I would suggest you to do is to train your dog to be an overall capable of being hand-handed and also man-handed by the owner. So what do I mean by that, right? So we are train our dog to accept us touching the muzzle, opening out the muzzle as an act of vet check, allow us to touch his forepaws, right, and allow us to even lift his tail, right, and allow us to even inspect or lift his ears. So these are the few things that you definitely need to put your dog through it, and so that he gets, it's going to be always rewarding experience for them, for your puppy to always feel when someone opening out the mouth is nothing scary. It's always about doing what the owner wants, and then you will get the reward. So it's the same with like touching the paws, right? What we want to do is to, you know, every time when we squeeze the paw, it's always a marker, say yes, and then you pay, right? So we do it with the first paw, the second paw, the third paw, and the fourth paw. And then what we do, we increase the intensity by holding the paw a bit longer, right? Let's not do it until the dog basically will resist that squeezing, right? Let's do it slow, let's do it gently, and let the dog experience someone touching their paw. It's not going to be difficult, right? This also will help you in your normal basic grooming, right? So in event that you need to groom your dog, you need to clip the nails, and your dog, your puppy must always be ready to let you handle his paw, right? And the next thing you can do, you got to teach your dog to be able to allow you to lift up his tail. So when I say again, it's to lift up his tail, not to pull his tail, right? So especially for those long tail dog, of course with dogs that has no tail or bob tail, you definitely not going to have any issue with that, right? For dogs who are long tail dog, you need to be able to simulate or provide that experience of someone lifting their tail, and again you will mark with mark and treat, and then you will give the dog a reward. So your puppy will get used of somebody lifting up the tail. So what do we want to do so, right? Especially when you bring your dog or your puppy to a vet check. In order to check whether your dog is having or running a fever, the best technique is to basically put a thermometer into his butt, right? And in order to do so, you must get your dog prepared to have somebody lifting the tail, and to then allow somebody patting or touching the tail and the backside, right? That will actually ease the process of doing the temperature at the vet, right? So the next one would be the ears, right? What you want to do with the ears is to always leave open the ears. So for dogs that have long and folded ears, you need to always do that, right? Because for long awaited time of folding the ears, normally you will smell. So what you do is that you will leave open the ears, and again you will say yes, and then you pay the dog. So the dog basically allows, or the puppy allows you to flip open the ears and then to rub his ears and to just do a mini inspection. And the dog will allow you to touch his ears and will allow you to inspect his ears and to sometime even allow you to wash his ears. So it also will help in your basic grooming, right? And then the last thing will be the muzzle. So what I want to do, first thing I will be doing is to put my hand and try to hold on to the muzzle, right? By holding on to the muzzle, if you allow me to hold the muzzle without resisting, again, I will empty, right? I will mark and treat, And if he's getting it very comfortably, that's where I will increase by adding a little bit of pressure by holding the muzzle, and I will squeeze his muzzle, right? And that will create what I call sometime when you're at the vet, you know, your vet tech, your vet will sometimes be a little bit more excited, you know, they will be moving a little bit more roughly in that sense, and the puppy needs to be able to get used to pressure, right? That's a good way. As you increase the pressure, let's reward, let's do a MT, and let's pay for that, right? Then the last thing what we do, I will also will push open the mouth using my thumb. I will squeeze into to the teeth, to the gum, and I will squeeze up open the muzzle. And when I do that, I will normally issue a verbal command, in a sense. I will say open your mouth, and when he let me open his mouth and not resisting, then I will do an MT and I will reward. Right, that will helps us to basically get our dog ready for the vet check. The third option to train your dog to get ready for a vet check will be allowing us to carry the dog, right? Of course, if you have a tiny puppy or a miniature or a small dog, this may not be a main concern to you, right? But for people who are having a big dog, medium size, you know, to large dog, this can be detrimental, especially when you make a trip to the vet. And usually when you are at the vet examination room, the vet will usually ask you to lift your dog to the examination table so that you can have a better look on the dog. Well, obviously, there are some vet that is you know, flexible enough to also, you know, examine your dog on the ground, right? But however, to make the vet's check easy, we might want to conform, you know, to lifting your dog onto the examination table, right? So we need to train our dog to be allowing us to do a scoop up, right? So the only correct technique I believe for us to do for a large dog would be a scooping technique. What we will do is that we will scoop from the front paw, right, at the shoulder blade, and the next one on the other hand, we will be scooping up his backside. So that is the correct way of scooping. Let's not leave the dog in between the body, right? What we will likely be causing the discomfort would be to his intestine, you know, to his organs, and especially when you have a large dog, right? That can be quite painful, right? That will also cause unpleasantness for the dog to experience, especially when you're carrying him up, right? So what we can do, I will recommend you to do a periodical practice on carrying your dog. What I like to do is this, right? I will always will scoop out my dog and immediately I will let them go, and then I will reward them. So I will do this for a relatively long time, maybe for a 2-3 days. And when they are ready, what I will do that the second time, I will scoop them up and I will add on a squeeze, right? And I squeeze and I will let go. So there's two components down here. One is to scoop out your dog. The second one is to do a slight squeeze. So what we are trying to do is to tell the dog that, you know, if somebody is, you know, squeezing on you, that's also fine. You know why? Because that is a way that your owner is going to express his love for you, and that's how people shows their affection, right? So the dog must again understand that they allow people to, you know, manhandle them so that they can continue to enjoy the reinforcement from the people, right? So the next stage we will go into is that I will scoop out the dog, and I will squeeze, and maybe I will hold the dog for relatively, maybe, you know, start with a 20 second, increase up to 30 second, and then to a minute, and then I will let him go, right? And I'll do this on multiple occasion, you know, multiple time, maybe it could be in a day, I may do two, three, four times, you know, so that the dog so get you so used, and the puppy gets so used of being carried, right? And that will helps you and prepare yourself for a good vet visit.
Once again, you can find us at pups.com.sg, which is P-U-P-S. Pups has a trainer academy to nurture, train, educate, and motivate all trainers to better equip ourselves with skill, knowledge, experience, and to ensure continuous education to keep abreast with the field of dog training. Pups Dog Training, we provide Puppy 101, Pet Dog, and Dog Sport Training. And our flagship program, our Dog Obedience Life Skill Program, and also the Puppy Fundamentals Obedience Classes,
and puppy agility fundamental camps,
and a behavioral consulting. Thanks again for listening to our podcast, and we hope you like it, and I'll see you again in our next podcast. Thanks. See you, yeah.